Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Congress is back in session. Hey, kids, Congress is back in session. Nobody, I said to Phil, who cares? Does anybody go, oh my God, did I not even know that? It's like, look, I can tell you when Christmas is. I can tell you when the start of the NFL season is. I can tell you when a big movie opens up. I don't even give a rat's ass that Congress is back in session. A bunch of people that barely get anything done are back in session and patting each other on the back for being on vacation for a month and a half. Fantastic. Oh, Chad, they're on vacation all year. Don't tell me they're not on vacation. Their asses don't work. We'd all love to have that job. Work 4 days a week, get paid huge money, have a lifetime benefit and pension. Somebody sign my ass up. Please. They're back in session. Oh, my God. No way. That's it. Fantastic. I'm so excited. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. I don't care. You know what? For a while, there was issues. Issues. I will call them issues. In the Republican Party, that seemed to be a civil war was coming. And I think the Republican Party still has a huge problem that they're going to have to face sooner rather than later. It may be masked by winning, and like everything, whether it's sports or anything else, you can mask a lot of things by winning. And I think the Republican Party has some issues that they're still going to have to face. They got a lot of fracture inside that party, and even now, with things going the way that they're going for them, you know, they've got some issues that are going to come. They're going to come to the head sooner rather than later. But we did think that they were going to fall apart first. Let's be real. We thought that they were going to fall apart first, but the Democrats have, and they fell apart along the way. It didn't happen overnight. It happened over the last 8 years. But as all of this started to happen, the fracture started to come. Let me tell you something. It was really pointed out this campaign season when you saw a fracture between a Bernie Sanders, who was able to really excite a progressive, left-leaning, socialist kind of feel, feelings matter over facts kind of vision that the party has, and grab a younger generation, and you saw an older generation of Democrats who were upset, who felt lost, who felt completely left out in the open and exposed to a lot of bad dealings in Washington and just the changing scenery of what has become this world that we now live in. And they didn't react very well. And Van Jones was on the other night. And if you don't know who Van Jones is, good looking brother. I will say I saw him on numerous occasions. And when we were out there in Cleveland, and producer Phil will vouch for me, I said, producer Phil, these women are held together by Spanx and tight shorts pants and some, you know, some hair extensions and a lot of makeup and some, you know, and the dudes though, they all look real, man. And Van Jones looks like a model. And he's a good guy, really nice guy. But he's left-leaning and he's very progressive. And he was on CNN saying the end is here for the Clintons and the Clinton kind of days. But there's a lot I want to talk about in what he had to say. But let's play clip one.
You have to understand, I think, that the Clinton days are over. This idea that we're going to be this moderate party that's going to move in this direction, that's going to throw blacks under the bus for criminal justice reform and for prison expansion, that's going to throw workers under the bus for NAFTA. Those days are over. Judge based on your authentic commitment to the actual base of this party, and if you don't do that, you can't win.
Okay, first and foremost, I never once thought the Clintons were throwing African Americans under the bus. I never thought blacks were being tossed under the bus. First they were at the back of the bus, now they're being thrown underneath the bus. A lot of bus issues with Van Jones here. And I'm going to tell you this right now. But this goes back to something that the ladies have talked about, Diamond and Silk, and we've said it, and you've seen people like Charles Barkley and Stephen A. Smith, both of them big in the sports world, and both have said on many occasions, hey, you know what? Blacks, you need to go out and vote Republican just once. And why is that? Because the Democrats don't work for your vote. They don't work for your vote because they know they got your vote, right? They know they got your vote. It's like that kid. If that kid knows that you're never going to punish them for something, they're going to continue to do that over and over again. Guess what? They know they got your vote. So they ain't going to work for it anymore. They're not. And this is where the battle's going to begun. This is it right here. A younger generation, and I said it over and over again, the Democrats abandoned a lot of different things. It wasn't just the blacks. They abandoned many people throughout that Rust Belt who were once Democrats, but they're a different kind of Democrat. They're a Democrat that is white working class Democrat that struggled with the changing face of the economic world that we live in, and that didn't have that college degree. These elitists looked at them and they really threw them to the bus, because the Democrats have gone on to this progressive side of things where it's about issues that matter. If you're a white working class male or female in the Midwest and you're struggling right now, and the Democrats are where you voted for a long time, and you see the way that they're attacking issues and not attacking the economy, you don't care about transgender bathrooms. You don't care about a lot of these issues that are out there that are always tossed in everybody's faces, and that this is the place. You care about having a job. You care about keeping food on the table, lights on, rent. You care about those things. And this is where the left is screaming to come to. This is where they want to make everything about issues now. And they're going to lose a lot of that Midwestern feel. They are. It's not about throwing anybody under the bus, man. It's about the fact that you guys miscalculated who your constituents were in the Midwest, which is where this thing was won. You guys miscalculated that because you made everything about transgender or issues or racism or all of these things when Donald Trump went out there and he made it about them. He made it about the economy. He made it about jobs. He made it about maybe giving them an opportunity and hope at the end of a bleak, dark tunnel that they have seen for a long time. That's what he made it about. You wanted to talk about whether or not we all could go to the same bathroom. He wanted to talk about whether or not you're going to have a bathroom in your home or if you're going to be living in your car. Issues. He wanted to talk about issues that affected people. You guys wanted to talk about issues that affected very few people. Not that those things aren't important, but you hyper-focus on something that is the minutia of something. And guess what? Most of us deal in what? The economy. It's the one thing we all deal in, right? And guess what? When you can make the economy better and you can make people feel good and you can show them that there may be an opportunity for jobs and this, that, and the other, and it's been a bleak decade for a lot of these people, and over the last 20 years, their entire economy has slowly but surely just evaporated, and now you're giving them an opportunity and a little bit of hope? That's what they care about. You missed the mark. Oh, we're not done. Continue, Van.
Clinton had a chance to make a VP pick. She didn't pick someone from the progressive wing, which made it much harder to heal those wounds with the Sanders and Elizabeth Warren wing. Keith Ellison represents that wing very, very well. You also, I think, have to remember that Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are going to be there on the Senate floor every day. That's going to be an important part.
Yes. Sanders, Elizabeth Warren. But understand, these are left-leaning, super progressives who are that kind of elitist feel, that northeastern elitist kind of feel, where they look over and they see San Francisco and they see L.A., but everything in between is a vast wasteland to them. And they could, and I think she's from, you know, I don't know, what is she, 116th, 1800th, 150, Pocahontas, Pocahontas, whatever they'll call her name. But understand this, they don't get those people because they don't understand. And that's where this war is going to come to, because this party is going to fight with each other a lot more. Because they're out of touch. Just like a lot of the Republicans are out of touch, and they're out of touch within them, with their own party, this is going to happen. But understand the way that they make it feel. This is great. This is the perfect thing. I was reading this, and I was so taken back by this from Van Jones. He says, Kamala Harris, or Kamala Harris, she's a California Democrat. She's unreal. She's going to be out there defending those Dreamer kids because they got a big part of her constituency. Again, making it about race. But it isn't finished there. But she's got African-American roots. She's got Asian roots. She's a female. She's tough. She's smart. But all the first things that they talk about is race. They're making it about things that, you know what? She's black. She's Asian. My goodness, if she was black, Asian, handicapped, lesbian, Indian, illegal alien, this is a jackpot, right? Like, you'll have to hire one of those people and you can check every box. Here's the thing. Is she competent? Could she do her job? Or is it only about identity politics and special groups? That's how you lost this. And now, let me tell you something. I think the Democrats will rebound because this younger generation definitely leans a far, far left. And they care about stuff like this. But do you see what they're pointing at? She's black. She's Asian. She's female. To me, you're just saying, okay, well, we're checking all the boxes. Again, is she competent? This is where they want to take it. They misunderstood what was happening in places like Michigan and Ohio, in places like Wisconsin, in places where they were struggling. They misunderstood. They didn't quite get it. Because they wanted to make it about identity politics. They wanted to make it about the minutiae of stuff. All that stuff can be there. But the fact is, inside of all of that was the biggest thing, and they didn't pay attention. And there's going to be a fight in the Democratic Party, and it's coming soon. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Love when you text the show, 323-538-2423. Hope you're doing well on this beautiful Tuesday. Technology, kids. Should we or shouldn't we? Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Technology. You know, as we were making the New Year's resolutions, I talked to a lot of people that are like, you know what? I'm thinking that if I should take a detox and cleanse myself of technology. And I started laughing. I mean, you see all these articles out there. I'm reading one here from newsletter.co.uk, that take back your life with technology cleanse. And there's one in the USA Today. This woman's technology cleanse really works. And you know, how to get your kids off technology and blah, blah, blah. You know, why? Why do we pretend like we're going to do this, right? First and foremost, we love technology, right? It's been, for all of the bad that has come with technology, you know, there has been some bad. The goods far outweigh the bad. And we're addicted to it, but is that such a, are we addicted to it or is this just a new norm? That's, I think, a fair question. Because the people I see that want to get everybody off technology are people who grew up in a different manner, right? They grew up in a much different way. Like, I didn't have technology. I had one friend on the street, my buddy Ray Ray, his family, I love him to death. They got the first computer on the street. It was this old, like, you know, Macintosh, DOS machine, and you couldn't turn it off. Like, just if you shut it off, the whole thing blew up, and it was just, you know, you couldn't, there was like 12 steps to shut the machine off, and everything, it was black and green. That was it. That was the writing. There was no graphics, but none of that stuff, right? Now look where we are, 30 plus years later. We got stuff in our hands. I got a computer in front of me. I got my phone next to me, and I'm watching TV. We love technology. This is the world that we live in. This is it. And a younger generation, this is normality. We are much different. And that's why I think always, look, I understand the importance of being able to communicate and to be able to have a situation where you can talk to individuals. Right? You can break bread with them. You can shake hands. You can look them in the eye. I understand all of that. But we also have to understand this younger generation, they're doing it their way, and it's different. And that isn't so bad. It really isn't. As much as you look at technology and it can be a pain in the ass and we all need to eat together and this, that, and the other, and everybody put your technology in, and it's good. But the truth is, this is kind of who we've become. And we as adults, first of all, love to tell the kids to get off of it, but we're always on the damn thing too. Not that it's a bad thing, though. I don't think it is. I just think this is kind of the new norm. And so asking people to stop doing this or stop doing that, look, it's good for anybody to take a week off or 2 week off to recharge your batteries, to take a detox and to maybe not be on the computer so much. It's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But the truth is why fight it when we love it, right? That's just it. Why would I fight something that I absolutely love? I think that's foolish. There's no reason for us to fight something we love. And the kids nowadays, they've grown up with this. And there's no reason for us to tell them, hey, do it like we used to. Why? They don't have to. Look, I would have loved to have had computers around my entire life. I didn't. Producer Phil, how old were you when you got your first computer?
My first personal one, I think I was probably 19.
Yeah, see? Right around there. I think I was in my 20s when I got my first computer. Most of you out there, probably even around my same age, in the 40s and 50s, probably right around the same time. These kids only know this stuff. This is their world. We're trying to shape them, and it's okay to give them opportunities and to want them to do certain things, but at the same time, let's be real. This is their world now, and it's become our world, and we're stupid if we think we're going to just detox off of it. I encourage Jack to be as electronic as possible because that's the world we live in, and I think that's where we're going. The Chad Benson Show Facebook. At Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
We've had sad news that our pet of the week. Did you feel like one of those like really bad like newscasts and like godforsaken nowhere? And like, here's our pet of the week. You know, our pet of the week, Scarface, has been put down. Who is Scarface? Well, he's a pit bull. What did Scarface do? Attacked three of its owners. But let me tell you, before we all go and hate on Scarface the pit bull, before we do that, I want to point something out to you guys. I was okay with him attacking. Chad. Yes, because they tried to put a damn sweater on the dog. You don't put sweaters on animals, all right? You don't put them on monkeys. You don't put them on anything, right? This is just it. Like, I'm not going to go, hey, guys, hold on. I got my snake, and I want to put a sweater on. You don't do it. It's stupid. Look, people are insane when it comes to their animals, and you know who you are out there because you probably got to. And, okay, a little dog, you may think it's cute. Next thing you know, you're going to get scuba gear for your fish. Well, I think it's cute, right? I think it's really cute. I'm going to get scuba gear for my fish. Don't need scuba gear. It's got fur. It doesn't need a coat. And you're in Florida. This is where old Scarface was. Scarface attacked all its owners. The first one attacked was the lady, right? It attacked the lady because she was trying to put it. And like Scarface is like, say hello to my little friend, right? And then it bit the hell out of her. He's like, I don't want a sweater. I don't want a freaky sweater. My name is Scarface. And then it bit her. And then all of a sudden, husband came over. It bit him. That's when son stabbed him in the neck. Why you do that to me? And he attacked him. Scarface has been put down. And I call BS. because you shouldn't be putting any kind of clothes on an animal. What's wrong with you people? Oh, my goodness. Jiminy Cricket. So that was our pet of the week. I hope you guys buy the pet of the week. His name is Scarface. Oh, Scarface is gone. Speaking of second chances, which Scarface did not get, we talked about this before we went on Christmas break. A video came out of a highly touted football player and recruit, Joe Mixon, who punched a woman in a burger joint or some sort of little bar in Oklahoma, and was suspended by Oklahoma for a couple games, and he redshirted a year, and he got himself back playing, and now he's highly touted and will be going to the NFL. And it's just a question again, right? Like, should you or shouldn't you give people second chances? You know, Michael Vick or you had so many guys in the NFL. Greg Hardy, like, there's one. Should you give him a second chance? You know, and we decide second chances in bizarre ways. Like, you know, we see a video, you know. Remember Ray Rice punched his girlfriend? We saw the video. Second chance went away. There's also the talk of, well, was the skills really there anymore? People just don't want to, you know, that around. Greg Hardy beats up on the girl. We don't see it, but we see the aftermath. He gets convicted of it. People give him a second chance. Why? Well, because he can get to the quarterback. You know, it's that whole, do we give people second chances? And Joe Mixon is got a second chance. And last night in the Sugar Bowl, as they were just cracking down on Auburn, he was playing a hell of a game. And Brent Musburger went out and said, look, I think, you know what, this kid's been okay, and I think we should give him a second chance, and kind of, you know, praise the fact that he took a second chance. And then in the middle of the broadcast after saying that, now, mind you, he's the announcer. The announcer's not an opinion guy, right? The announcer's not the opinion guy. The opinion guy is the color analyst, right? He's the guy that used to play, and he comes out and he can say these kind of things. Rarely do you hear an announcer give an opinion. They're supposed to be completely unbiased. But, you know, I think, too, as you get older, right, you've been established as long as somebody like Brent Musburger has, you can kind of get away with it, right? You can kind of get away with it. So Brent came out, and I don't know who told him, but along the way in the broadcast, he was getting just blown up by social media, just destroyed. And then he decided, you know, screw this. This is what I have to say. And listen to how he ends this.
You know, Jess, apparently some people were very upset when I wished this young man well at the next level. Let me make something perfectly clear. What he did with that young lady was brutal, uncalled for. He's apologized. He was tearful. He got a second chance. He got a second chance from Bob Stoops. I happen to pull for people with second chances, okay? Let me make it absolutely clear. I hope he has a wonderful career and he teaches people with that brutal, violent video, okay?
Just, he's pissed, okay? You guys get that? You get it? You get it? I have no problem with that. Look, again, this is one of those things. We, and this is the feelings issue of it. Let's revisit the whole incident. Here's a guy, young 18-year-old kid, inside of a place getting a burger or it's a restaurant or something, and it's a deli. So they're saying it's a deli. Whatever. There you go. So we look at the video, and he hits her. She falls. She breaks her cheekbone. She breaks her jaw. Not a good thing. Definitely not a good thing. What we forget about this, and I talked to my friend last night, and she said, you know what? You should never do that to a woman, but she should have been arrested too. She pushed him and then punched him in the face. She should have been arrested too. What he did, and the punch didn't break her jaw or cheekbone. The hitting the ground did. And yes, he should have been arrested. And yes, he was. And he should have faced the consequences. And he did. But it's amazing to me how we are, who we decide we give second chances to. I will back it with my life. If we saw Michael Vick killing those dogs, because the way that we heard about he killed those dogs, electrocution, he drowned some. If we saw him killing those dogs, There's nobody that was giving that guy a second chance. But because we didn't see it. And I think the reason Joe Mixon got a second chance is because the video didn't come out the last week, and he's already been playing for the last 2 years. Ray Rice, man, he was popped. He was suspended for a couple games. He and his girlfriend, or then girlfriend, now wife, had gone into the commissioner. They were contrite about it. They had talked about it. It had seemed to be in the past. Then it came out, and boom, he was gone. And can we stop having to preface everything with what he did was wrong? We know that beating up on a human, by the way, doesn't matter if you're a man. When did only beating up on women? Like, what if this was a 140-pound guy? How about that? What if this was a 140-pound guy, right? And he said something to Mixon, and Mixon laid him out. Well, that's a dude. So who cares? There you go. So, but when did hitting anybody have to be prefaced with what they did was wrong? We know that, right? We're not idiots. I'm not an idiot. I get what he did was wrong. What Ray Rice did was wrong, but we get that. But we're a second chance country, right? I was listening to Dan Patrick today, and, you know, he said, look, I don't really care about Joe Mixon, and I root for people who break their legs or have their knees torn or whatever. You know, yeah, I mean, look, we all root for those kind of people. And this guy, you know, what he did, I think was a reactionary and stupid thing to do, and I'm sure alcohol played a part in everybody being involved. And let me tell you, they called it, her friend called him a racial slur, allegedly, and then he called her friend a gay slur, and then she came over and pushed him, and then she punched him, and then he reacted. It's stupidity. It's young, dumbass stupidity. But I think people deserve a second chance. Where do we draw the line? I mean, do you want people ruined for life? Is that it? That Mozilla guy, the guy that was the chief of Mozilla, right? He worked his whole life, finally gets to be the CEO of Mozilla, and somebody finds out that like 8 years earlier, he wrote a check for Prop 8 and that some bitch can't work at all. Like he can't. And since, by the way, after he wrote the check 8 years later, his views had changed, but the damage apparently was done. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing how we decide who gets a second chance and who doesn't. Here's the beauty of America. This place is a second chance, right? Your life is a second chance. My life is. We all have had second, third, fourth, fifth, eight, 10, 12, 4, 5,000 chances. That's what we're about. We screw up every day. To this extent, no. But for some people, it's like the social media gods and the gods of perception. We have to let them give us the second chance now. And I think that's bunk. Oh, Chad, he beat a woman. Yeah, it was stupid what he did. We have to preface that. We get it. It was also stupid what she did. And by the way, Joe Mixon's a big dude. I'm not punching him. I'm not walking up and hitting him. Both of them were dumbasses that night. Both of them. But we're about second chances, right? That's what we should be about. That's what we should be about. But I think anymore, our whole goal is to destroy somebody's life. We used to be this thing where we'd watch somebody get built up and they'd get big, and then the media would turn on them, and eventually they would crash, and then we would hope they would rise like a phoenix from the ashes. Nowadays, we want them to beg to us, and even then, we may not allow it to happen. A lot of things go into it. I hope the kid does all right. I do. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Also call the show, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Concerts. A lot of big ones in 2016. We have the 10 biggest grossing concerts. And wait till you hear how big number one is compared to number 10 is. And I don't even know if you can call number 10 a concert tour. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Look at that. Little Celine Dion. Now, can we call her tour a tour when you don't actually go anywhere? People tour to you to see you. I've got the 10 biggest grossing tours of 2016 right here in my hand. And remember, music industry has changed in such a way over the last 25 years. There is no more huge, big, massive albums. I mean, I think it's safe to say that the likes of the Beatles and ABBA and Fleetwood Mac and AC/DC and those, they're going to hold those positions forever because we no longer consume albums by the units anymore, if you will. We can do it by singlets and the videos and stuff. You make your money now by being on tour and being famous. That's how you make your money. Got the 10 biggest, right? Yeah! Number 10 was Celine Dion in her tour, non-tour. I think this would have probably been bigger, though. Didn't her husband die last year? That probably bet you that cut into. What was his name? Francois or Rigoberto, or I don't even know. I like Francois. That was a good name for him. Guillermo. And it was really weird. That whole relationship was weird. Because he was like her manager when she was like 12, and he was like 73. But they were in love. There you go. $85.5 million. That's what she made. Number 9. I thought this would be higher, but I don't think they played as many dates as a lot of these other people did. At number 9, the Rolling Stones. Number 9. They had almost $91 million. By the way, his name was Rene. Best concert I ever saw in my life. Garth Brooks concert, Dublin, Ireland. This guy can bring it like there's nobody else. And it just goes to show you what a massive star he was. Having been a massive star, taking a huge amount of time off to raise his kids, got remarried to Trisha Yearwood, comes back and he hits the ground running and boom. Massive, massive year. $97 million. Number 8, Garth Brooks.
And I see a truck stop sign ahead, so I change lane. I need a cup of coffee and a couple dollars change. Calling Baton Rouge.
A great song. Operator, won't you put me on through? Gotta get my love down to Baton Rouge. Number 7, the Beatle himself, Paul McCartney.
And the
$110 million for him. Number 6 is everybody. We love to hate him. I actually like the kid. I think he's got a ton of talent. And it's funny how we don't hate Justin Timberlake, but we hate this kid. Justin Bieber. $163
million. My mama don't like you, and she likes everyone. And I never like to.
It's because he's got a monkey and $100 million and a private jet. Producer Anthony, find out what his net worth is. I'd like to see what that is. $163 million. Number 5, the Cockney girl with a British, just the best voice in the world right now, Adele.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming of.
Phenomenal. Crazy. By the way, $200 million for Justin Bieber at like $22 million at 22 years old. That's why we hate him. Number 4. They got back together and they made a killing doing it. Guns N' Roses.
She's got a smile that it seems to me reminds me of childhood memories.
$188.4 million. There's Axl and Slash and the rest of the guys got back together. Now it starts to really bump. At number 3, a band that I didn't think made this kind of money on tour, $241 million, Coldplay.
Look at the stars, look how they shine for you.
You think it's all yellow?
Everything you do.
I'm just curious there, Chris.
Yeah, they were all yellow.
That's what I wanted to know. That uncoupling has done him well. Number 2, the lady that's going to be headlining one of the nights here, Coachella, Jay-Z's better half, Beyonce. I'm up on him, him. He up on me. Don't pay him any attention. Just cry my tears. Give 3 good years. You can't think mad at me. $256.4 million. B is not Pope. That's for sure. But number one is a senior citizen from New Jersey. You know him as the boss. Bruce Springsteen. 67 years young, pocketed $268.3 million on his tour. Not bad. It's a lot of money, but when you think about it, Celine made $85.5 million. Springsteen made almost $200 million more than that. He works harder, though. A lot harder. Interesting. It's your top 10 grossing tours of 2016, of which I saw none of them, and I'm proud. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, Chadbenson, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Text the show. Love it when you do. 323-538-2423 is the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.